We continue on the journey that we've been on in Lent this year to focus our lives and our attention on the spiritual discipline of joy. I think that Pastor Siobhan was inspired when she made that choice for this season to come forward to work on that discipline of joy and fast from fear. It is too easy to get caught up in the fears of our world in these days and the twists and turns that leave us unexpectedly needing God's fullness of grace in a week. And such has been this Lent for us as well and for our world. I never quite know what God is going to do with a sermon, and especially one in which I'm not exactly expecting to preach until just a little over a week ago. But almost 28 years ago, when I was ordained during the Easter season, I looked out at the first congregation I would serve in 1989. Ooh. How many people weren't born in 1989 in this room? More than I care to remember. But when I looked out at the first congregation that I served for 8.5 years in my first call, it was Palm Sunday. And there were 1,300 faces staring back at me that day. I don't think I preached that Sunday. It was just, and I looked at them and I said, how am I ever going to get to know these people? I look out at this congregation now, having been here for over 14 years, and I know a lot about a lot of you. We have walked through times of joy and times of deep, deep sadness and unexpected pain. And I'm grateful for that. At this point. But I'm also grateful that Palm Sunday gives us a date and an excuse for joy, especially in this world and in this day, because we are at the beginning of a journey that is the journey of life and is the journey of life, death, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ that begins with Palm Sunday in a very intense way. It begins with Palm Sunday, Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem. Yet amidst the joy and the celebration of Jesus, there are signs even here in these last chapters of Matthew of the drama ahead. Jesus, this Jesus who shows up to heal, to be teaching, to accompany us and call us forth out of our stink, as Siobhan so powerfully preached last week. And if you missed it, it is on the website, so please listen. Jesus is intensely engaged with the people, and he knows how limited his time is on this earth. He knows that he has few days to be with them. And in these final days to Jerusalem, Jesus is ever pointing to the kingdom which has come and the kingdom which is not yet, never more so than in the dramatic ups and downs of Holy Week. We too live in that tension and sense of God's presence and power, the limitations of life in a world where fear-mongering, violence, and destruction carry the day again and again. And yet, we can also rejoice in the testimony that God shows up, like Sebastian said this week. Even in a week where the U.S. is pivoting toward war, in a week and in a time where the cost of $29 million for one tomahawk strike is out there while we struggle to fund meals on wheels and no fare bus passes. We wrestle with these needs in light of the horrifying killing with chemical weapons again on top of the tumult and war in Syria. Tomorrow night, the Providence City Council will hold a public hearing on the Community Safety Act. Years in the making of conversation and challenge to push for accountability and work against racial profiling in policing. The current document, it may not be finished, there may be amendments tomorrow, is a work in progress of all sides for years in this city. Many of you, I know, are dealing with challenging and intense issues of health, concerns with children, transitions of all kinds, and yet we gather to worship. We gather in this time to call forth the witness that Jesus calls us to, that into this world in which we live, Jesus came, and Jesus comes again. We pray that God will reveal to each one of us where we should best spend this Holy Week. For all of life is ours from God, and we are stewards as much of our time as we are of our monies. And so we gather to hear this familiar story, this story where Jesus bursts in to turn the world upside down, a joy we can celebrate. With streets lined with people waving from the sides, placing palm branches at the feet of Jesus as he passes by, with Jesus astride a donkey and a colt, fulfilling the Old Testament prophecy of Zechariah of the king coming triumphant and victorious, humble and riding on a donkey. It's a dramatic moment. It was estimated that more than 2.5 million people had crowded themselves into Jerusalem that week because Passover regulations held that every adult male Jew who lived within 20 miles of Jerusalem must come to Passover in Jerusalem. So it was crowded, and the crowds came following this Jesus. Matthew reports, as Matthew read, when he entered into Jerusalem, the whole city was in turmoil, asking, "Who is this?" John's gospel puts it even more strongly. "You see, you can do nothing. Look, the world has gone after him." Oh, that it would be so, that the world would go after this Jesus. Yet prior to this joy of triumphant entry into Jerusalem is the deliberate sharing of Jesus with his disciples that it's not all about the party, as much as we would like it to be. The disciples don't want to hear it. They immediately get into a dispute over who will be the greatest when Jesus rises again in places of honor. That can't be the way it's going to work out, this cross thing, can it? In his Meditations on the Cross, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who wrote and lived and died during the Reich in World War II, Bonhoeffer reminds us how Jesus let some of the disciples see the glory in the transfiguration up on the mountain, which Pastor Siobhan preached about earlier this Lent, alone with Jesus in his glory, before all of them descended into the abyss of Holy Week, and how the disciples would have preferred to stay up top on that mountain in the world of transfiguration and not return to this real world of death. Jesus tells them that it's a different kind of power and kingship that they will see, and they really don't want to hear it. Through this season, as I noted, we have been working and trying and seeking to claim the spiritual practice of joy in a world which seems bent on practicing fear and despair. But it is precisely into this world that Jesus calls us to live amidst the contradiction, to hear testimony of life beyond life, to the mystery of God's presence and power. In Holy Week, we come to a point of transformation, and the challenge to the religious and political authority of the day becomes very evident. The great parade is at that intersection of that transformation, from message and ministry to sacrifice. The crowds cry, "Hosanna," literally, "Save us now," which was not only a prayer, but a common cry of praise. But there's more than praise and celebration. By the end of this week, we will again, next Sunday, embrace the message, Jesus becomes our salvation. My question and my challenge to you is, will you go from praise to praise to celebrate Palm Sunday and the joy of this, to celebrate the power and the amazing message of resurrection next week, or will you journey to the cross in this week? I know some of you already are journeying to that cross. Because it's not just a celebration of God's love that we see at work here, of the crowds of Palm Sunday or the power of resurrection. We learn in this week that Jesus' way of power will be the way of the cross. It's why there has been a move in recent years to make this, and you probably read it in your bulletin, Palm/Passion Sunday. Because we know that the world in which we live does not recognize Holy Week. The world in which we live no longer shuts down for Good Friday so that people can be in worship. The world of our lives and schools, I can even remember when my kids were kids that Good Friday was a day off from school. That's not true in every school these days. So how will you recognize this transition in your week? Pastor Siobhan listed off a lot of opportunities, because we have this kind of tension that we live in this now and not yet of a society and a culture that is not so hospitable to Christianity. We, praise God and thank God, are not being bombed in this church on Palm Sunday. But that's not true in our world. When I moved to Rhode Island now almost 19 years ago, we moved here and I was looking for what would happen on Holy Week, on Good Friday, because I was used to a Good Friday service at that huge church that I served. And I found stumbled upon the tradition of the African American church tradition in this state through the Ministers Alliance as I discovered a full week of worship. Our brothers and sisters in the Ministers Alliance have worship services Monday through Friday nights, with a pause at the tomb on Saturday, unless you're Episcopalian, before the gift and celebration of resurrection Easter morning, including that three-hour Good Friday service with seven preachers on Friday. Can we live into this week in such a way that we do not lose that opportunity to move through the rhythm of Holy Week? When my kids were little, they weren't quite up to the three-hour, seven last words of Christ preaching service that I wanted to go to. But we often went for part of it, and that is an option. We often also, some years, participated in the Good Friday Walk for Hunger and Homelessness that happens in the morning. We loved it when there were dinners, like there is this week, before the Monday-Thursday service, and a service that we could participate with in as a family. How will you mark this Holy Week? Because our life is always an opportunity in each season to bring forth new practices, new disciplines, new opportunities, new ideas. If you need an idea on how to celebrate, no matter where you are in life, and how to recognize this week, please talk to Pastor Siobhan or me. We both are in different phases of our life and may have different opportunities to offer you, as well as that pink sheet. But I invite you to enter into a practice that I started in November when so much was bubbling up in so many directions, and that is to pray about your week. To ask the question, where is it that you want me, God, in this week to be faithful? Where do you want me to be faithful? I've been praying that prayer every week at some point in the week since November. And I invite you to join in that so that you might flourish in this week that calls forth such spiritual discipline. For our life in discipleship is a spiritual discipline, and we have a chance to practice it in a new way this week. I'm not looking at this paper, so I'm having a hard time following what I'm wanting to say. Maybe you can take time, even if you can't get out to one of these services, to read through Matthew's gospel, the lectionary gospel, this week. To find yourself in that story. Life, in all its giftedness, is indeed a spiritual race, as we read in Hebrews, a marathon of opportunity to explore the depth of Christ's love for us and an opportunity for ever deepening spiritual connection. Let us then live into this Holy Week, that we too may truly, by the end of it, lift high the cross, the love of God proclaim. Amen.